Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Not in a Creepy Way.
Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about Avengers Infinity War 2018.
I'm being held against my will. This is under duress. I need help. Send help, please.
We're almost to the end of phase three. We're four movies away from it, right? We've got, after this one, we have Ant-Man and Wasp, Miss Marvel, or Captain Marvel, whatever. And then Endgame and Spider-Man, right?
Yes. Spider-Man Far From Home.
And then there's phase four, but as I was telling the guys before we started recording, I am ready to be done with phase three and have a little sorbet to cleanse my palate before we go and
you're dive ready off to be done.
Yeah, I know. You're ready in phase one. By Iron Man 3, you're like, I'm out. Although I will point out that I actually watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 before I watched this movie. Because I was afraid.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Well, when I looked at the poster, I thought, oh shit, who's this girl with the horns? Turns out they were antenna. Like, see, that would have been important. Not, you know, I would have liked to known where that came from. And as it turns out, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't as bad as, you know, after I watched it, I listened to your guys' conversation again. I had completely forgotten your whole conversation, which explains why I'd also forgotten who Star-Lord's father was. But, like a lot of these movies, the plot itself was just bonkers, but the characters were pretty good. It was interesting to
You know, there's good Gamora and Nebula stuff in that movie.
Yeah. And the nice, I forget Michael Rooker's character's name, Yondu, right?
Yondu.
Yeah. He gets a little bit of a heroic final act. I too did not understand why Sylvester Stallone was in the movie, but perhaps on Endgame.
Or Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, who else? There was other little cameos, right?
A ton of them, yeah.
Yeah, weird. But
Sylvester Stallone's going to be back for the next one, so.
I'm sure. They'll all be back. Everybody is back, maybe, depending on what happens after this movie. And this movie, I'll just skip to the end of this movie. I found this movie entirely less satisfying. Because it ends on a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
So it did make me want to watch the next couple movies. Because I do want to see what the endgame is. And I'm liking some of the characters more. But yeah, we'll get into it. So, Brother Jay, you watched the movie today?
No, I watched it yesterday.
Oh. What did you think? Is it your top five now?
Top five movies I wish that I could expunge from my brain. This movie, I have so many problems with this movie. I stopped writing after the third sentence. I was just done.
The third sentence?
Yes. I'm just like, yeah, I'm done. So I just watched it after that. So I didn't take a lot of notes because I was like, I'm not going to commit ink to this because I'm just going to gripe about it. So I'll be my normal bitter self.
Okay. All right.
No, I'm genuinely curious about why you didn't. I mean, we've already established you don't like the Marvel movies. You don't like the tone and the general attitude of Marvel movies. But so is it that you just. On an absolute scale, you didn't like this movie, or on a relative scale, like even for a Marvel movie, you thought this was a bad one?
I don't know how to parse that. What I will say is that my problem with it is that at this point in this evolution of the series as a whole, mm-hmm. I don't understand most of the characters' motives anymore, because they don't even subscribe to their own set of motives, or collectively as a set of motives, and what motivates them going forward doesn't fit in with the story. And so it's hard to wrap my brain around, because it doesn't make any sense.
Are there a couple of specific examples that you're thinking of as you describe that?
Thanos is a little bitch from the beginning of the movie to the end.
A little bitch? What do you mean?
Yeah, he's a moody, cranky bitch.
In a cast full of cranky, moody people.
Yeah, I know, but he is the center of this movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
But so, he only has one real goal, right?
Yep. Okay. And that's my point. So he has one goal.
I mean, that he is the only one that is satisfied at the end of this movie.
And one would say he wasn't even satisfied, but I digress. My point is, where is his motive?
Oh, they're pretty clear about what his motives are.
I mean,
his motives are to save the universe by killing half the population so that there's enough resources for people to live comfortably. He sees himself as a savior, a martyr, because he's willing to do what others aren't. Uh-huh. I mean, even his daughter is like, you're full of shit. You're crazy. But yeah. I mean, I think they're pretty clear. That's what his motivation is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody wants to save the universe.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I did appreciate about this movie, is that this wasn't just a lunatic trying to fuck shit up. Like Thanos
he was totally a lunatic trying to fuck shit up.
He was a lunatic. He was not trying to fuck shit up. He was trying to save the universe.
He's trying to fuck half the shit up in the universe. He's trying to eliminate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That.
Well, you can call it a reduction in force, let's say.
Sure.
Yeah.
The spirits were redeployed.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Made redundant. So Drew,
sorry, I interrupted your thoughts. Did you have more, Jason?
So there's Thanos being maniacal, but not, but genocidal, but not, and erratic, but not. So again, that's some more whipsawing that I don't like anyway. Then there's the funny smart whipsaw, which I already don't like. So that's strike two. But then,
because you don't like your comedy with your superheroes.
I don't. If this had been more serious, I didn't take any of it seriously is the problem. It's also farcical because how they all play it off. So I didn't care. I really didn't care. Nothing in this movie made me care. Like flinging Gamora off the cliff and she's dead. Like, I think in a better movie I would have cared, but I didn't. So there's that. But also, they have so many characters in this movie that they're trying to impress you with the volume of superheroes they have in this, and it makes it completely just muddled. So
I will agree with that one. In fact, I think Kevin Feige.
Nice.
Maybe taking us 35 movies to get this far. Kevin Feige said that there was no way, because they have so many cast members now, there's no way you could have one big battle royale. He had to break it up. He said, like in kickball teams, and have a tournament. So he had to split them all up so that he could get everybody involved.
Well, and why? Why was that important?
To keep everybody involved?
Yeah.
Because
why was that so integral to the story that they had to devote screen time and they had to give everybody something to do?
Well, they didn't. There were still a couple people missing, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But what I'm saying is,
but this was a conflict that spanned the entire universe. I mean, has to involve everybody.
I get that, but you didn't have to include everybody to the degree with as much story and as much screen time for every single one as you want, as they included. This movie, I'm gonna pull the Eric card. This movie was way too long.
It was long. I think except for anything involving Peter Dinklage, I think this movie really, really moves along. It doesn't really take its time with very much at all.
No, it one thing that I was having a little bit of trouble with is that you really have to remember all the shorthand. Because yes, there's so much going on. Like you can't go into this movie cold.
Nope.
Which is again why I was glad I watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2, because at least I knew where the Guardians had been. And it was actually nice to see everybody finally get to meet each other more or less. Mm-hmm. Like it was fun to see Quill meet Thor. At least I thought it was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think I thought Thor had really good chemistry with the Guardians.
Yeah. Yep. Actually, you know what? Maybe against my will, I think was it Drax?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That character is really fun. Groot is really fun. Even the Rocket character is very fun. And I was
Little Rabbit.
I don't like Gamora because I think there was something wrong with the CGI, or does she just have flesh-colored eyelids but green everything else?
I didn't notice that.
Because it was bothering me, and I don't know whether it was just like a lighting issue or something, but I swear I was like, she doesn't even have her makeup fully on.
Maybe it was what you were watching it on. I don't know. It looked fine. I mean, I did notice that. But
yeah, it was bothering me. And also, I don't like her character, frankly. Like, I don't think she has any chemistry with Quill.
Yeah, Gamora is certainly lacking some charisma that even Drax has.
Yeah,
I find Nebula more
absolutely
charismatic than Gamora.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
Certainly, Nebula shows more passion. I don't believe Gamora's character's sincerity is the wrong word. She doesn't. All of her emotional overwroughtness that she portrays, I don't believe it. It's not believable to me in her acting. Where Gamora, I see that. Or I'm sorry. By what's her face?
Nebula.
Nebula. I feel that in the performance more. So maybe
here's where I'm going to suggest that that's because you love robots. You love them. You love them.
I think part of it also is.
Well, you know, I'm going to
the benefit of having
Electric Grandmother.
Sorry. The benefit of having so many movies that precede this is we have spent so much time with all these characters that we really have seen significant arcs most of them, including That's Nebula. True. She's had a really big arc. But I think what you're pointing out, Eric, is that Gamora's arc. And I haven't watched the Guardians movies in a while, but Gamora's arc seems really unearned more than a lot of the other characters. Like, she was kind of a mean baddie for most of the first movie, and then she just kind of fell in love with Quill and decided to be good, right?
She's the reluctant girlfriend in the second movie.
Yeah. And that's kind of where we're at.
The reluctant girlfriend with daddy issues.
A lot of these characters have daddy issues.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. As it turns out, when you go through the plot, which again, and that was basically, I'll jump in front of you, Drew. That was my only problem with this movie is that they're just the sheer number of characters. Like I was there for it. I was down for it. I enjoyed myself during this movie. I let myself get swept away or whatever. I didn't think too hard about Thanos and all of that. And the Infinity Stones from the beginning, I thought were dumb. It's just a dumb thing. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it came down to literally he's had to snap his fingers with his hands together or something. And they had this glove and everything. It's like, this is ridiculous. But I didn't care. Because I knew we were getting someplace. And I think, Drew, I think you poisoned me a little bit because you had mentioned that the whole entire arc of the MCU had led you to a very satisfying Iron Man versus Captain America resolution or something. At least that's what I understood.
I don't think I ever said that.
Okay, I think you were impressed with what they did with Captain America.
Yes.
Okay. And how Tony Stark actually was the one who started everything. He's actually the root of most of the problems.
Yes.
This movie had very little of either of those guys. Almost no Captain America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which it was, again, fine. But it was, and it was interesting to see more of the littler guys get more screen time. I'm enjoying Doctor Strange a lot. I really am.
His coat got a lot of screen time. His cloak.
Yeah. Do you like his cloak?
Made me laugh.
It's funny. Yeah, there you go. See? You can smile. His cloak, though, because his cloak is like a robot. It's not it's not human.
I saw this movie in the theater.
Okay.
And I had a lot of the concerns you guys are talking about the number of characters. I had those concerns going into Civil War.
Yeah.
Like I kept hearing this character is going to appear in Civil War. This character. I was like, that's not sustainable. You can't. There's no way. And then they pulled it off. I thought Civil War was way better than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
So I was all in on this movie to the point where I was doing everything I could to avoid hearing anything about it. I wanted to go in completely cold, which is difficult when you can't readily get to a movie theater. You know, a couple of young kids. It was summertime. Busy times.
And in 2018, you didn't even know how difficult it was going to be to get to a movie theater later in your life.
Right. Yeah. At that time, the girl's cousin was visiting from Colorado. So we took the kids to the movies, and I don't even remember what movie they were going to see. Like Hotel Transylvania 3 or something. And
sorry. Taco Tuesday.
And so Jennifer was going to take the kids to go see the kids movie, and I was going to go see Avengers Infinity War by myself. And so I was and I think we were taking one of my oldest daughter's friends too. So we ended up taking two cars. And I took Emma and Gavin, and my wife took Lizzie and her friend. And this is probably like 5 weeks into Infinity War's run in the theater. So a long time to try and avoid hearing stuff about the movie.
It's impressive.
And on the drive in, Gavin was, I mentioned to Gavin that I wasn't going to be watching the movie with him because I was going to go see Infinity War. And he was like, oh yeah, I saw that in Colorado. I was like, oh, you've already seen it. I was like, okay. I was like, was it good? He's like, yeah, it was really good. I was like, cool. I'm looking forward to it. He's like, except that everybody died at the end. I was like, no, I don't want to, like, don't tell me that. He's like, I don't know if they're really dead, but you know, like Thanos kills half the universe. I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
On you the way see to that the coming theater. Back. I'm on the way to theater to watch the movie. I had lasted so long.
And now, to be fair to Gavin, if Lizzie had been there, she'd have been like giving him like the stop talking. My dad's brain will catch on fire.
Yes. Yeah.
The call's coming from inside the house.
So I was a little sour when I was watching this movie, especially when it got to the end. I was like, motherfucker. I bet that would have been effective. But yeah. Probably my strongest memory from the movie was it was still packed, like 5 weeks into its run. It was still a packed theater. And I will say, you mentioned Captain America is not in the movie much. He doesn't even appear in the movie till like what, minute 42 or something.
Yeah. And literally he's in less than 3 minutes of this movie.
But when they zoom in to the guy who caught the spear and it's revealed that it's Captain America with this awesome, like pre-COVID quarantine beard.
yes.
That was the strongest reaction from the audience. People cheered.
Wow. Okay. They were doing some stuff for sure.
Yeah.
Like, and I didn't realize until I looked at the trivia for this movie that, you know, this is 10 years into the movies, right? Mm-hmm. So this team of people, or several teams of people, again, like Kickball probably, have been trying to figure out how to tell the story and do sufficient fan service. Like, I didn't realize that the Captain America uniform in this movie is based on, like, three different times Captain America stopped being Captain America in the comics. And they kind of had to meld all three uniforms, and he'd taken all his patches off, but you could see where the patches would have been. And, yeah. So, and each character had that kind of fan service devoted to it, which I think was smart. But for someone like me, I was like, he has two little shields instead of one big shield? What's that all about? And then, oof, something else flashing happened, and I realized that. Not a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, well, you remembered he doesn't have his shield, right?
Yeah. Well, what happened? Did his shield break?
No. After the fight with Tony, Tony said, that's not your shield.
Yes.
It was my dad made that.
Yeah.
So okay. He left it.
See, and that's the other problem is that I had forgotten a lot of all of this, like, story coming up to this point. So, and in fact, even just the plot synopsis to this movie, this movie starts out where Thanos already possesses the Power Stone because he decimated Xandar.
Oh yeah, killed Glenn Close and John C. Reilly off screen.
Yeah, I had forgotten, like, what the hell Xandar was. Like, I had to look at it, and it's like, oh, it involves the Nova Corps. Who the fuck is the Nova Corps? What is that all about? Oh, okay. I'm like pulling threads until I get back. Oh, this is Guardians of the Galaxy 1. Okay, that's what it was all about.
Yeah, the dance-off that saved the universe.
Yeah. Shall we dive in? And, well, actually, so Drew, you didn't tell us. Coming out of that movie, except for the spoiler part of it, were you satisfied?
No, I was pretty cold coming out of it. I was like, I mean, there was a lot to process. There were some really good moments in it that I liked. I was not expecting it to be a movie about Thanos. I mean, even at the end of the credits, it says Thanos will return.
Oh yeah. Well, that was pretty clever.
I dug that because. That was a big complaint about the MCU in general, is it has a villain problem. And I thought it spent a lot of time giving us, letting us understand the villain in this movie. And I thought it was really effective. I thought the CGI, Josh Brolin CGI was actually really good.
Yeah.
There are a couple good moments. I mean, it didn't land with you, Jason, but the Gamora scene landed with me. The Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good.
That was surprising.
Kind of touching.
Yeah.
And the Captain America reveal was great. I mean, I wasn't one of those who were cheering because I don't do that, but I felt it in my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hadn't realized at that point that I'd been missing Captain America. But when he showed up, I was like, fuck yeah. America.
Exactly. Woo. Yeah. So, okay. Two things before we jump in. One was, you reminded me.
Oh, sorry. One more thing.
Okay.
One more thing. Chris Hemsworth in this movie is really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. He started out as being one of the weaker, examples of the characters that I thought. Like, Thor has always been, I mean, I used to love the Thor comics as a kid, but when you put them all together, Thor just seems kind of dumb. But, this is good.
Yeah. And, to conclude, when I came out of the theater, I was, I had some uneven feelings about it, but, since, like, every time I watch it, this movie gets better.
Nice.
I think it might be a stronger movie than Endgame. It certainly doesn't hit me in the feelings as much as Endgame does. But yeah, I mean, if you ever spend the time to rewatch it, I think you'll find there's so much stuff going on that I think it's impossible to really fully process on the first go around. But after you can wrap your head around it, I mean, this I think is a really tight, well-crafted movie.
Actually, I have a mission.
It's a really strong entry.
What's that? I have a mission for you if you're willing to accept it.
Yes.
Can you make us a list of, or maybe just make me a list of movies that would be satisfying to rewatch, like of this whole, the whole MCU, like which movies would be fun, like, or maybe just a list of movies you don't need to watch again. Because I don't necessarily even need to watch Guardians of the Galaxy again or Volume 2 again to enjoy those characters. And, like, there's no reason to watch Iron Man 3 or whatever, and there's certainly no reason to watch Thor, Dark World, or Dark Fate, or whatever it is. But, yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like the essential.
Yeah.
The essential watch list.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because that might be worthwhile. It's, the other thing is, let's see, there, you guys reminded me of Jason, when you said the call is coming from inside the house. on my first tangent, I watched, what is it? What's the movie called?
Scream?
No.
Oh.
Yes.
When a Stranger Calls?
Let me just hear, man, because I watched a lot of movies recently. Yeah, When a Stranger Calls. I had forgotten that Carol Kane is one of the main characters mm-hmm. in the beginning of the movie. It is a bad movie, by the way. It's not a good movie. But it has that one feature to it. And that actually only takes place in like the first 10 minutes of the movie. And then you're left with, wait, this is really bleak. What the hell happens in the next hour of this movie? And yeah, it turns out, nothing to worry about. the second thing you guys reminded me of is the Never Not Funny. Probably my favorite podcast. Those guys, when they talk about spoilers for each other, because they all try to see the movies as quickly as they can. But Jimmy Pardo, the main guy, he's like, he doesn't even want to know whether the other people liked the movie or not, because that will influence him.
It will taint him.
Exactly, which is kind of funny. But he's the kind of guy who would go see like two or three movies a week, because he's a working comic on the road.
I have found that I have gotten old enough now that if I find things out, I forget it by the time I go watch the movie. So,
oh yeah, we are all becoming our parents. Yes.
I generally don't care about spoilers too much. Like unless it's like a super twist ending, like The Sixth Sense or something.
The robot did it.
That will sort of change how you watch the movie. Yeah, I try not to really care about spoilers, because if it's done well, it won't matter.
Yeah.
If you know what happens, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there are some exceptions for sure. But yeah, I would prefer no spoilers, but I realize that I don't get to movies right away, too. So, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I'll say, like, spoiler. It's like, I'm totally kidding. Because, again, most of the movies we end up talking about, because I'm an old guy, are like, you know, 30 years old, because that was when I was in my prime, apparently. So, okay. Shall we dive in?
We probably should.
Yeah. And maybe we'll just yada yada a lot of this. But although that's another problem I'm going to face, and you guys are going to have to pick up the slack here, because especially Drew, I think, because I will yada yada all the action scenes, and some of them are pretty good. Again, I'm going strictly from the IMDb plot synopsis, because the Wikipedia, although shorter, was even more brutal as far as leaving shit out. So.
We don't have to talk about the action so much. The action is generally pretty good. But another thing I appreciate about this movie is there are important story points that come out of each action piece, even if it's just a little bit, like oh, Banner and the Hulk are having some problems.
Well, one of
you figure that out in the first action scene.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Jason. I think that. And maybe this is, I think that the story to me is so weak that if there was no story and just action, I might have liked this as a movie. if you would have just taken all of the crap dialogue and the ha-ha funny and the over drama, like, I didn't need any of that. Just put all of the action together, and that would have made a cohesive movie, because you get enough there. But having to wade through the garbage...
I think I can explain this, actually, as it turns out. That one of the stated goals was that every scene would serve two purposes. Like, every action scene had to have another purpose. Any shot in the movie that it was, you know, to move the plot forward had to have another purpose as well. So they were shoehorning everything in.
Mm-hmm.
Even if just through jokes and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, maybe this is overwritten. I don't know. It's hard, though, when you have 30 main characters.
Well, that's the other thing.
Yeah. And suddenly it's like a Dostoevsky novel or something. So. The movie starts with Thanos and his children, Proxima Midnight, Ebony Maw, Corvus Glaive, and Cull Obsidian. They've attacked Thor's Asgardian ship in search of the Space Stone, which is housed in the Tesseract that Loki had stolen before Asgard's destruction. Already, I'm like, oh dear God. But I had also forgotten that at the end of... what movie is it where Thor becomes Captain Kirk? Was it Civil War?
Or Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
That was just like 2 movies ago.
I know. Well, that's the problem, is there's so much going on. So, yeah. So Thanos shows up and just kicks the shit out of all the Asgardians. Like, basically genocide. As it turns out, there's a couple Asgardians left, but everybody else is pretty much toast. The Hulk tries to help.
There's a bunch that escape.
Yeah, but still.
This scene sort of establishes how formidable Thanos is individually. Yes. Not just that he has a giant ship and superpowered children that he's stolen from various planets.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, because he cannot be defeated one-on-one, right?
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was really effective how they showed the Hulk, you know, doing his sort of brute force Hulk stuff. And Thanos was just as strong, but a much more tactical fighter.
Yep. And the Hulk just wants to take his ball and go home at a certain point.
Yeah.
Which is another thing we'll talk about here. But, and I guess another thing on the overall storytelling, I think that I read that they had to get rid of Ego, and they had to get rid of, 2 other big baddies. Because they would have been too powerful. And we want Thanos to be the most powerful thing in the universe. So I forget what the other two were, but... Odin was one of them. So they ended up killing off a bunch of big names. So that Thanos could go through and take care of business. So, anyway. By the way, that whole thing with Ego and the planet and everything. That was a ridiculous plot, that whole thing. I mean, it's like
the fact that he was a planet, or the fact that he murdered like thousands of his own children.
Actually, those things were fine, but just the idea that that's where this scope had come. I mean, I guess the Guardians of the Galaxy aren't interested in like street level crime like Spider-Man is, or Daredevil, or whatever. I realize mixing universes, but still, yeah, these aren't cops on the beat. They're saving the
world. Maybe not.
Okay. So Loki offers the Tesseract to Thanos in exchange for Thor's life, only to be killed himself when Thanos anticipated his attempt to betray him and kills him. And then Heimdall uses
this... I don't know how much you remember, but Loki used to work for Thanos.
Yeah, they had a falling out, right?
Well, the whole invasion of New York caused by Loki was at Thanos' behest.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, okay. So it didn't work out.
Loki's mind scepter was given to him by Thanos.
Oh, okay. So Thanos gave away one of the Infinity Stones to start this?
He did.
Ah, okay. So.
Return on your investment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Heimdall uses the power of the Bifrost to send Hulk to Earth as his last act before he dies. And Thanos and his children depart after Thanos uses the Power Stone to destroy the ship, leaving a mourning Thor behind and stranded in space. So the little Battlestar Galactica.
Seemingly dead Thor.
What's that?
A seemingly dead Thor.
Yeah.
I didn't really consider him to be mourning at the time.
Well, no, he was more frozen at the time, right? So back on Earth, Hulk crashes into the Sanctum Sanctorum in New York City, and he is reverts back to Bruce Banner, who's the guy that informs Doctor Strange and Wong that the shit is about to go down. And I like Wong's 35 seconds of this movie are fun.
I like how after the first battle, he's like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
Yes. So Strange and Banner then contact Tony and brief him about the Infinity Stones and Thanos. And realizing they must find Vision to protect the Mind Stone embedded in his head, Stark realizes that he must make contact with Steve Rogers to find Vision, who has gone off the grid with Wanda.
Did you not find it at all touching that Tony had Steve's flip phone just in his pocket?
Well, I guess I didn't put it together. That was Steve's phone.
So at the end of Civil War, when they were not on speaking terms, Steve mailed Tony a note and a phone where he apologized and said, "If you ever need me, you can reach me here."
Oh, okay. I had forgotten that.
And it's been like years later, and Tony's just still carrying around that phone, charged up and ready to go.
I was going to say it was charged and ready.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he saves space by having everything else he owns be nanotech, right? Like his sunglasses are nanotech.
I was not a fan of the nanotech suit. It's just magic at that point.
Yeah. Well, that's all the suits. Like the Spider-Man suit is just magic at that point, too.
Yeah.
And it worked in the Spider-Man movie. I don't know. It was less effective in this movie for Spider-Man, I thought. Although he still is... It's still a good character, and it's still a great actor doing the job, so. As they're getting their shit together in New York, Ma and Obsidian arrive, and they're to seize the Time Stone from Strange and Stark. And so Stark, Strange, Wong, and Peter Parker confront them. And turns out...
Jason, I know you don't like the quips, but I really enjoyed them here. Like protecting your reality, douchebag.
Yes. Yeah, I like that, too.
And dude, you're embarrassing me in front of the wizards. That's all good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like, because now the characters are fleshed out enough that you can really see that, you know, Doctor Strange is trying to be the grown-up in the room. But, Tony Stark.
But he's still a dick.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's a surgeon. Can't take the doctor out of Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. So having been traumatized by his defeat at the hands of Thanos, Banner finds himself unable to transform into the Hulk and help in battle. Now, apparently we're not to read that, that Banner can't transform into the Hulk because he's scared, but the Hulk is just tired of always coming out and cleaning up Banner's messes.
See, that's more interesting, but that's not in the movie.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I think there's no other way to read this movie as you're watching it, other than the Hulk got beaten so badly that he's too scared to come out and fight.
Okay.
See, I didn't take that at all. I just took it as he was being petulant.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. I think that's more interesting because we never have that much time with the Hulk in these movies. I think mostly due to some rights issues. But the dynamic between Hulk and Banner is way more interesting than they ever give enough time or airtime to discuss. You know, the fact that they are these two competing personalities that inhabit one body that cannot stand each other. That's some of the more interesting arcs in the comic books, like when the Hulk winds up taking control and figures out that if he drinks an entire liquor store worth of alcohol right before he transforms back into Banner, then Banner will be too drunk to do anything until he transforms back into Hulk again.
Yeah.
And that's one way he keeps them subdued for like weeks at a time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's a problem. Are we going to get more Hulk? Never mind. Don't answer questions, I guess, because I don't want to know. I don't want to know. So, all right. So, although I do love that. Was this the movie where, was it Don Cheadle and Mark Ruffalo were being interviewed and they're talking about how, we hate it when the characters die, and Mark Ruffalo is like, oh, then you'll hate this movie.
Probably.
Yeah.
And yeah, Don I think Cheadle Mark Ruffalo has like, yeah, don't go back and look at any old Mark Ruffalo interviews.
Okay.
Because he essentially gives away the entire plot of Endgame like 5 years before it came out.
Okay. Well, also, they didn't give Tom Holland a copy of the whole script because
I was just going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, blah, blah, blah. He can't sense Ma, the Thanos child or whatever, can't take the stone. He could take Strange, though. So he
also Spider-Man shows up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's, yeah. And, Stark and Peter, although again, I guess against Stark's will, Peter Parker kind of tags along on Ma's spaceship that has the damsel Strange in it.
Yep.
So they end up going off planet. And then let's see, Wong stays back to protect the sanctum.
And Banner finds the phone.
Yes. And Banner contacts the rest of the Avengers. And then we go to Scotland. Wake up, Dougie. So Wanda and the Vision have been hiding and they're ambushed by Midnight and Glaive, but they are rescued by Steve Rogers, Natasha Romanoff, and Sam Wilson. And they,
great moment.
Yeah.
It was a great moment in the movie.
Sure. It's fun. And they decide to seek shelter in the Avengers facility in upstate New York, where they meet Rhodey, who is again mobile using bionic leg braces. Apparently he had some leg damage after the Civil War.
You don't remember that?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember him crashing into the ground?
Vision shot him accidentally.
Oh, yes, yes.
While
yes.
he was in the air and yeah. he
plummeted. He,
like flat spin. Like same thing that killed Goose all the way down.
Bummer.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So that explains why Rhodey was like, yeah, yeah, Vision, take out the stone. Go ahead. You need to do this for us. Take it out.
Yeah. So the other part that they don't talk about is, so Vision was on the government side in Civil War.
Yes.
Wanda is a fugitive. So their shacking up is completely on the down low.
And
which is funny that like Tony and Rhodey just know exactly where Vision is, if not where, like who he's with.
Sure. So Vision proposes that Wanda destroy the stone in his forehead to keep Thanos from retrieving it. Because at this point,
Vision was badly damaged in that fight.
Yes.
Because otherwise he would have just killed everybody.
In the fight in the Infinity War, in Civil War, you mean?
No, in the fight in Scotland. He was damaged as a way of depowering him.
That, I was going to say that that's another thing these Marvel movies have, is there's a power problem. Because again, how can you have Natasha Romanoff be a main character when you have like Thanos and Vision and Wanda and I guess Captain Marvel, who are going to be like the most powerful things in the galaxy?
Yep. And you're already seeing some of that from Wanda.
Yeah. Wanda refuses to kill Vision, basically. And that's where...
So does Captain America.
Yeah. And Captain America, though, suggests that they travel to the one place that has the technology to safely remove the stone from Vision without killing him. They're going to go to Wakanda. Now, in the meantime...
That was another moment in the theater that I remember got a huge reaction.
Sure. Yeah, I can see wanting to go back to Wakanda.
I mean, Black Panther had only been out for a couple months at that point.
Yeah, so were they out at the same time?
I think so,
yeah. Okay, yeah. So, In the meantime, we go back to space, and the Guardians of the Galaxy picked up the distress call from the Asgardian ship, and they end up, they get hit, like, a bug on their windshield is Thor. And so they, there's, again,
Brother fun Jay banter. Shaking his head, but I love this. I love this part.
Yeah, I do too. I like the whole Quill thing. I like the rocket thing. I actually like the Mantis Drax thing. It's pretty fun. I still hate the idea of Nowhere and the Collector, but oh well. Luckily,
well, lucky for you.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so, Thor ends up telling him that Thanos is next going to be after the Reality Stone, which is in the possession of the Collector and Nowhere. But first he has to retrieve a new weapon capable of killing Thanos from the dwarven planet of,
Nidavellir.
There you go. Where the only forge that can create such a weapon exists. So Thor orders Rocket with him to
that's where Nidavellir. His hammer was created.
Yes. While Quill, Gamora, Drax, and Mantis travel to Nowhere.
Little rabbit.
Yes. So on the way there, Gamora talks to Quill, making a promise to kill her if the situation presents itself. Because basically she knows something that Thanos wants to know. But she won't tell it to him, because anybody who knows it is going to be in danger or can screw up the whole thing. Because again, if Thanos gets all of these stones, half of the universe is gone. This has some high stakes here. Although, again, you don't really believe in any of it. I mean, you don't think they're going to kill off half of the Avengers, half of the heroes in the universe, right?
Well, kind of hoping that way there's less in the next movie.
There's still a bunch that didn't show up in this movie.
Yeah, well,
damn it.
In Nowhere, Thanos ambushes the Guardians, having already retrieved the Reality Stone, and create an illusion of an intact Nowhere to trap them. He captures Gamora after the crucial moment where Gamora begs Quill to kill her, using the Space Stone to escape. Again,
He tricks Gamora into thinking she killed him.
Yes.
Just to kind of fuck with her and see if she would actually feel bad. Yeah, he's just not just a physically abusive father, but also emotionally abusive father.
Well, he's got to have a little fun. He's not completely single-minded. So he uses the Space Stone to escape. Then he reveals that he already knows that he knows that Gamora knows the location of the Soul Stone because he pried that information out of Nebula, who he's been torturing. He's not a good dad to that foster kid either.
So it took me a couple times through this movie to figure out, like, that Nebula is sort of the unspoken catalyst of the whole movie. That's one of the biggest questions, right? Is if he could just go out and collect all these stones at any time, why did he wait until now to do it?
Okay.
Right. And it was because before he captured Nebula and found out that Gamora knew where the Soul Stone was, he didn't know where it was. So he didn't want to go about collecting all the stones, because then that would alert the entire universe to what he was up to until he knew he could get them all.
Well, and that's why at first, he was collecting all these stones through third parties, right? And that's mm-hmm. why at the end of, which movie was it? Where he just takes the Infinity Gauntlet out of the locker and says, now I'm just going to have to do this shit myself.
Oh, I don't remember. Was it either Thor, The Dark World, or Age of Ultron, one of those?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, so, and then Thanos and Gamora travel to the planet of the Soul Stone, Vormir, which is where the Red Skull is keeping the stone. Which, you know, again, it's fun to see the Red Skull, and I realized that there was a time where the Red Skull was trapped inside the Tesseract or something. Not in the movies, but in the comics.
Oh, yeah, or maybe the Cosmic Cube.
Yeah, so which is one of the stones, right?
Yeah, that's what they called the Tesseract for a while.
Okay, yeah.
Cosmic.
Anyway, yeah. Hitler was in there for a while. I think Steve Rogers ended up in there for a while. I don't know. But it was like wow, we get to see Red Skull. Where's Baron Zemo? But no, no Zemo sightings so far.
He's in the club.
In order to retrieve the stone, one must sacrifice the life of someone he truly loves. And again, this part I found a little bit... I had a problem with believing that he truly loved Gamora, but oh well. Poof, she's gone.
I believed it because Josh Brolin was so good and the CGI that captured his performance was so good.
Okay.
I bought it.
All right. So, by the way, along the way, Nebula escapes and signals the remaining Guardians to meet her on Titan, which is Thanos' homeworld. But back to Ma's rocket or whatever, Stark and Peter Parker rescue Strange from the torture chamber and end up launching Ma out of the ship, killing him. Again, fun action scenes. You get to see Peter Parker's, mm-hmm. like, spider suit or whatever, the Iron Man, Iron Spider suit.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I didn't like that. I don't like my Spider-Man to have extra legs, but oh well, it worked. It was helpful in this environment.
You like him to be less spidery?
Again, my Spider-Man was like a 2-minute thing in Electric Company. He had like a physical rope net he would throw on people. So, yeah. So Strange says they need to retreat to protect the Time Stone, but Stark's like, nope, we're going to take the fight to Thanos. We can fight him there so they don't have to fight him at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's worked out really well in history how that thing happens, but oh well.
We're going to fight him there so we don't have to fight him here.
Yeah.
Well, what I thought was the funniest part was his what he thought would be his compelling argument was, I have such mental trauma that I have no choice but to do this. So let's get on board and go. And oh. Dr. Strange is like, all right. Yeah, I see your point. You must be thinking very clearly.
So the three of them leave to confront Thanos on Titan, where they meet with Quill, Drax, and Mantis, and they formulate a plan to remove Thanos' gauntlet. And then while discussing their tactics, Strange uses a time stone to view alternate futures, telling him that he'd seen 14,605 alternate futures, and only one of them do the Avengers win. See, now that's a pretty powerful tool to have. Yes. But let's see.
I had forgotten until we rewatched Doctor Strange, or I rewatched Doctor Strange for when we would talk about it. I love what they do with Doctor Strange's magic, how they visualize it in the movies.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Like when he's doing the weird time stuff, when he's doing the weird magic gauntlets.
The sling rings.
Sling rings, yeah. I all of a sudden have 14 arms.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. The psychedelic stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, Doctor Strange was a character of psychedelia, right?
Yes.
We have Thanos teleporting to Titan, where after a brief conversation with Strange meant to distract him, the group engage Thanos in hand-to-hand combat and manage to subdue him, sort of. Mantis is able to calm Thanos while Peter and Tony attempt to pry the gauntlet from his arm. And Quill and Nebula, who arrive on Titan during the battle, deduce that Gamora is dead, and an enraged Quill retaliates, hitting Thanos and breaking the group's hold on him. So Quill fucks everything up. It's that sure half-human part of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jason does not like that as a plot point.
It was so tiring. It was so tiring.
The like Peter Quill of it or the whole fight?
Yeah. The Peter Quill of it. It's just so lazy writing. You could see what was happening before it was even going to happen.
Well, yeah. But again, this is a children's movie. So... Thor, Rocket, and Groot arrive.
It made $2 billion. It was not a children's movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, $2 billion. Yeah. So, in the meantime, Thor, Rocket, and Groot arrived at the abandoned and desolate Nidavellir. I don't know. It's like, it cures... I think you take like 200 milligrams of that three times a week for 6 weeks to cure your Peyronie's disease.
So now you're talking Paxlovid.
So Thor is puzzled that the giant forge is inactive. And this is where we get Peter Dinklage. You didn't like this, Drew?
No, I did not.
You think
I like Peter Dinklage, but I don't know what's happening here.
Like, I would agree with that.
No, it's all a gag. It's to make a dwarf joke. Two of them.
Yeah, sure.
It's not very kind.
The best part of this plot, I mean, well, Thor gets a badass axe out of it, which is cool. Like a Groot handled axe.
Yeah.
Stormbreaker. That's pretty cool. The conversation that Thor has with Rocket on the way there is like really the heart of this movie. He's talking about how he's going to get Thanos because he has to. And, you know, Rocket's like, what if you don't? And he's like choking back tears and saying, well, then I don't really have anything else left to lose, do I?
Oh, that's true.
That's good. That landed.
Except that here's the thing. I think it was the last Thor movie where his own father reminded him he didn't need a hammer because he wasn't the god of hammers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now he needs an axe.
Well, specifically but he needs a tool. Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
Okay.
They needed a MacGuffin to make you think that somebody had a shot at defeating Thanos, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this whole thing was misdirection, so that you would believe that at the end of the movie, Thor could come in and save the day with his special new weapon.
Yeah. By the way, I do like the fact that Rocket has like the prosthetic limb fetish. It continues.
Yes.
So blah, blah, blah. Stormbreaker, battle axe, blah, blah, blah. Oh, he also grants him the power of the Bifrost. So, and this is where the Avengers arrive in Wakanda. And they task Shuri with safely extracting the Mind Stone from Vision. And this is where Thanos' Outrider army arrives and begins attacking Wakanda. And so we have this huge battle scene, this cast of thousands battle scene, which...
And Shuri tells Wanda that she can't take the Mind Stone out because she doesn't believe the vaccine is real.
Exactly, yes. Yep. Yeah, well, and also she wastes time discussing a whole bunch of shit about stopping this deal. So, yeah. Oh, poor Shuri. So we have King T'Challa. We've got...
it's time for the White Wolf to get back into action.
Yes, which, of course, is it ever explained why he's the White Wolf? I mean, other than he's the opposite of the Black Panther?
Sort of.
Okay. Again, huge fight scene.
Get this man a shield.
Yeah. Thor, Rocket, and Groot arrive to join the battle. The tide seems to be turning for the Avengers.
That was another very fun moment, is when Thor arrives and just starts tearing into fools.
Yes. Let's see. Okay, did I miss the part about... you know what? I missed the part of the fight between Tony and Peter Parker and Thanos and stuff. They nearly get the gauntlet off, and then Quill screws it up. And
they're kind of cutting back and forth between a lot of this stuff.
And then
if you're going with the linear plot of the movie.
So Doctor Strange ends up giving the Time Stone to Thanos to spare what, Tony?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? They all know that at some point, if they do this, it's going to progress. I think keeping the stone is worth one or two lives. They're all supposed to be superheroes.
He's seen,
and in the pursuit.
He's seen the only way it ends well. It's part of the end game.
Mm-hmm.
And in chess, the end game is where a shit ton of pieces are gone.
This whole movie progresses through the fact that Loki gave up the Tesseract.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Gives could have sacrificed right there. Boom. Stopped the whole movie right there. Gamora immolated herself. Could have stopped it right there. Like, there are so many points which they could have done the right thing. No, they didn't.
Well, I mean, sure. Loki is not a character who does the right thing.
Yeah.
Gamora tried to get Quill to kill her.
Yeah, because it ends up being sort of a sad Robin Williams ending if she just kills herself. It becomes a whole different kind of movie.
Well, that was also one of the stated goals of the Russo brothers for this movie, is for every one of those situations, they didn't want for there to be a situation where the hero could win by sacrificing himself, because that's what they've done in all the other movies. The way they put it is they know every one of these heroes will jump on the grenade. But will any of them throw somebody else on the grenade?
Yes.
Are the circumstances they wanted to create.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's, again, that's a clever puzzle to solve in a story writing exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Thanos drops a moon on Tony and eventually ends up stabbing him with his own armor.
Yes. And so to save Tony, he gives up the stone. And yep. And yeah, and not even Tony is happy about that. It's like, you know, what do you do now? So this is back on Earth. We have in Wakanda, we've got the big old fight. And Thor attacks and drives Stormbreaker into Thanos' chest. But, before that, we have Wanda, who, because Shuri can't get the Mind Stone out. So Wanda ends up having to destroy it. So she destroys it and
kills Vision.
And that's when Thor attacks. And Thanos uses the Time Stone to just turn back time and take the stone for himself. Time Stone solves a lot of problems.
Well, they all do. He's got the Reality Stone too.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah, and the Power Stone. Yeah, everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then Thor attacks and drives Stormbreaker into Thanos' chest, but Thanos survives long enough to snap his fingers with the gauntlet. Whoopow! And we get a flashback or a flash sideways or whatever, where Thanos is talking to the child Gamora. And when he confirms that he achieved his goal, she asked him what it cost, and his answer is everything. So back on Earth.
Yep.
Thor looks on in horror as Thanos, his gauntlet now battered from the effort and his left arm and part of his chest burn, teleports away. So the deed has been done at this point. And so half of everything, half of all the living beings in the universe are killed. But it doesn't happen all at once.
Not readily apparent.
No. And in some cases it's kind of sad. Specifically, the Peter Parker scene, which, by the way, that wasn't intended to be as long a scene as it was. But, you know, Tom Holland saying he's not ready and all this and saying Mr. Stark and all that stuff was good stuff. So, yeah. By the way, Tom Holland hated his hair in this movie.
And there were the quiet, heartbreaking ones like Steve losing Bucky, his true love.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. And so Bucky, T'Challa, Groot, Wanda, let's see.
If you are not an original Avenger, your odds of surviving were dramatically decreased.
Yes.
Dramatically decreased.
Yep. Yep. Doctor Strange, Peter Parker, Star-Lord, Drax, Mantis. Who's Wilson?
Sam Wilson, Falcon.
Oh, Falcon. Okay. Yep. So the only one left? Rogers, Thor, Banner, Romanoff, Rhodey, Rocket, Okoye, and M'Baku.
Okoye
and M'Baku remain. And then on Titan, only Nebula and Stark are left alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a crazy duo there. Both sort of machine creatures.
Yep.
That's the way we are talking about this. So Thanos awakens on another lush green planet, his chest wound healed, and serenely watches the sunset, smiling slightly, satisfied at having achieved his ultimate goal. The end.
He saved the universe.
Yep. And in a post-credit scene, it's like the rapture. People are just dissolving. Mm-hmm. And we have helicopters crashing into buildings, and then we have Nick Fury and Maria Hill. Who then both begin to dissolve themselves, and before he vanishes, Fury manages to send a final distress signal. Now, only in reading the notes here do I realize that's a signal to Captain Marvel.
Yes. So I had read like the first collection of the Kelly Sue DeConnick Captain Marvel series. So then that symbol is very iconic to that series.
Ah.
So when I saw that, I was super excited. Like, this movie left me hyped.
Cool.
To see Captain Marvel.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it as well. I'm curious if Ant-Man and Wasp is going to be a step backward in time, but maybe not. We'll find out. Is it addressed? Is it not? We don't know. And you're not going to tell us. Okay, so any other thoughts, Jason?
Nope.
I mean, it's so complicated. And they're heading. I mean, again, this is the end of Dune.
What's complicated?
Well, because they're we have to figure out how all this actually ends, what the real end game is, and we're not there yet. This is the end of part one. We're waiting until Villeneuve comes in to.
I think the problem is I don't care what happens next.
Oh, that's but the I do.
Entire problem.
I do care what happens.
I wish I did.
Yeah, I mean, and we know because, you know, we live in the future that Spider-Man survives, so not everybody's dead. But, you know, anyway, so Drew's not going to tell us. So any other thoughts, Drew? Was it worth it? of course it's worth it.
I love this movie. This movie... It really does get better every time I watch it. I love the Thanos of it all. As promised, we did yada yada most of the action, but I think the action in this movie is really good. Like the extended Wakanda fight has a lot of really fun moments in it. You get Thor and Captain America reuniting and talking about their beards.
Yeah.
You get Bucky picking up Rocket and shooting in a 360 arc. That's fun. Yeah, a lot of good stuff. You get Wanda just really messing the field up with her powers. She doesn't really know what she's doing with them yet, but she's super powerful. That's fun. Gets good Black Widow moments in there too. Her fighting along with Okoye.
Mm-hmm.
I love this movie.
Cool. Excellent. So next up for the MCU, it's Ant-Man and Wasp. Sorry, Jason. But again, we only have four movies left, so it'll be great.
I know. I have far fewer ahead of me than behind me, so that's good.
Yep. And then we can go on to the other things, like the Fast and Furious movies.
A chronological rewatch of all of the Star Wars properties.
There we go.
I haven't seen all the Star Wars properties.
Much like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it'll be rewarding to start off in the order that, not that time gave us, but that George Lucas envisioned, right?
Have I told you guys about my all-time favorite Star Wars character?
Ungar Plotz?
Jar Jar Binks?
No, sorry.
Ahsoka Tano.
See the blind guy?
Nope.
No, okay.
It's a she, and she's not in any of the movies. she is the best character in all of Star Wars.
Is she in the cartoons like Clone Wars or something? Or yes. Boba Fett or something? No. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Sweet. Is the Boba Fett thing worth watching?
I mean, there's only two episodes in right now. Not if you haven't seen The Mandalorian.
Well, that's what I mean. So the Boba Fett is different than The Mandalorian? Or it's part two of The Mandalorian.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. The Mandalorian is not Boba Fett.
Oh, okay. Even though Boba Fett is a Mandalorian. Never mind. We'll move on.
Don't make me do it. Boba Fett is technically not a Mandalorian.
Okay. All right. And are Mandalorians just from Mandalore? Never mind.
See? I don't want to talk about the Foundlings right now, okay?
Okay, yeah. I was going to say. And those are separate than the younglings, right? That Darth Vader killed all of.
Yes.
Anyway. So, housekeeping? I watched a shit ton of movies. and TV, I'll just go through a quick list of stuff that I would recommend. Kelly and I ended up watching, we've been like on the edge of our seat watching Dexter. The last episode is next week, I think. Sunday, maybe. And Yellow Jackets, they're both great. We watched the limited series, whatever it's called, The White Lotus. Have you heard about that?
Or have you seen the first couple episodes of it?
Yeah. It is weird. Yeah, I watched a movie called Her Smell. That is Elizabeth Moss playing a punk rock singer. It's pretty good. Not bad. Yeah, I watched a movie called New Year, New You. I don't remember hardly anything about it except that I put in my review that it was silly fun. I think it's just like a New Year's horror movie. I watched the Kristen Stewart. I watched the Kristen Stewart movie Underwater, which, I mean, it's just a horror movie underwater, but it's kind of fun what they did.
I like that movie a lot.
Okay, because it hit the ground running. I appreciated that. Mm-hmm. They didn't explain anything. They just hit the ground running.
Yeah, it's not a thinker.
No. But it moves, which I like. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And that's about it. Kelly's had a cold that she's been having a hard time getting rid of. But hopefully she's on the mend. Journey managed to make it through a week of school. Maybe it was 2 weeks of school. This is 1 week of school, right? But on Thursday, coming in from recess at almost the very end of the day, she slipped and landed on her knee. So we ended up taking her to the pediatrician, who diagnosed it probably not as a broken knee, but as definitely a bruised knee. So she's gimping around a little bit.
Does that mean she missed school on Friday?
Yes.
Today?
Yeah. So
she didn't quite make it a week.
Nope, not quite. No. And of course, Kelly's like, did you have health or something? Is that why? She's like, I didn't fall down on purpose, Mom. I'm like, okay. All right. Oh, and Drew, our recording of whatever movie we watched last week, that's how up to date I am, was great, except that because there was that long pause in the middle where you had to answer the door for like a delivery person or something, it screwed up the sync. Oh, for Mom, I'm sorry. She's not merely, she's the person that delivered all three of us. But it screwed up the sync. Because my program total recorder breaks it up if there's pauses or whatever. So, So I had to go back and like cut and shift like dozens of places. Not anybody's fault, but it was just fun we won't have that experience this time. Tomorrow morning, probably I will release, both Sneakers and Scarface.
So, oh
yeah, that'll be fun. Was fun to talk about. Jason, have you seen Scarface in a while?
I've never seen it.
Oh. I would recommend, as Drew discovered, watch it as a comedy. As a comedy.
Because it is.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So that's my housekeeping. Hey.
That's a great one, Jason.
It is.
I have to credit Deidre for that. So
I approve of. Jason just sent us a tweet from.
That's very funny.
From at home underscore halfway. It says Vin Diesel eats two meals a day. Number one, breakfast. Number two, Breakfurious.
I do like that. Yeah.
Deidre posted that on Facebook. I couldn't forward it to the Not in a Creepy Way Facebook group, or I would have posted it there. So, because that's what I normally do, is I forward it to the Facebook. But no such luck tonight.
Yeah, well,
Facebook's moody.
So, who's up next for housekeeping?
I don't think I have anything for the podcast. I mean, we were there for 3 weeks in Christmas. We have procured tickets for summer. So nice. I have tickets for summer.
Yay.
Very nice.
So we'll see. But I will be up for Dad's birthday this year.
Nice.
Not for Christmas this year. So
as of this recording, our parents are not yet on their way back from Hawaii with Omicron.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe by the time it's released.
Yeah. Who knows? I conscious because I Kelly had a pretty bad cold and I was getting sniffly. I canceled the journey and grandma and whatever play date we normally have every. That's probably not the best way to describe it. Our weekly meeting, which by the way I appreciate too. Don't get me wrong. It's not just for journey and grandma. It's nice to check in on my mom and dad as well. But yeah, it was like, you know what? I'm not gonna give you a cold on your way to your vacation. It's always a possibility, but it's not going to be for me. So Drew, did you have any damage because of the huge like snow blizzard you had, or snow hurricane basically at the lake house?
No, at Willow, no damage. Didn't even get any. Our power didn't go out. It flickered a little bit on New Year's Day, it blew. I blew all the snow and frost off the trees, so it's looking pretty ugly out there. There's some snow drifts around, but it was unpleasant outside. It was sort of the as bad as it got. That it wasn't dangerous or anything until we had to drive through Wasilla on our way home. That was terrifying.
Yeah, no, Wasilla and Palmer.
We happened to go through in the window between when they shut down the highway and before we went through, and then after we went through, they issued us a shelter in place order.
Did you have a pilot car getting you through that area?
No.
Okay. Cause
yeah, no, it wasn't. Yeah. When we went through, the visibility wasn't that bad. Like every once in a while, a big snow plume would kick up and then blow across your field of vision, but that was like, you know, less than a second. But it was just the physical battering of being thrown around by the wind. I was worried that I was going to get blown into the other lane and crash into another car. So I was making sure I never was beside anybody on the two lane part of the highway.
Ugh. That's highly defensive driving.
Yeah.
I mean, so I was either going real slow in some points or real fast in others.
I was like, yeah, because there were semis that got blown over.
I saw a truck that had been towing like a toy hauler. I assumed the trailer got picked up by the wind because it pulled the trailer and the truck all the way off the highway, and it was mangled.
Well, I saw some pictures that were posted on Facebook, and there was a couple jokes going around because they were saying, you know, there were pictures of sheds that had been shoved over into the road that had been blown out of people's yards and whatnot. So they were making the joke that Alaska doesn't have tumbleweeds, they have tumble sheds.
Oh, yeah.
So
I had several like coworkers
flipped upside down.
Had no power, no water for like 24 hours, 40 hours, something like that. They were at one point, one of my coworkers was basically, luckily they had an RV, a motorhome. So that was the only way they had heat. So they were kind of living in the motorhome, and the garage had something smash into it. So they weren't even sure they could get the garage door open, but they weren't thinking about it at the time because of course nothing you could do.
Aside from just being some of the worst windstorms ever that I've experienced, it was also below zero.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With the wind chill.
It was a real bad time all around.
Yeah. The wind chill at times was like minus 30, minus 40. And it, if the you ambient don't have any temperature. Power, it's bad. It's
deadly conditions.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Because, I mean, again, it's even without the wind, it's been like, you know, minus 10, minus 15 at night in Anchorage. And that I am sick of it. I am normally, you know, I just think of like, I don't get too upset about the weather, because the nice thing about living in Anchorage is the weather always changes, right? Like, no, it has been so fucking cold for so fucking long. I'm just tired of it. It just makes me want to sleep, you know?
Yeah, it's the kind of cold where when we make the trip up to Willow, like I take a lot of extra precautions with me because it's the type of cold where if you break down and you're out away from people, you're going to die.
Yeah, no, that's you don't just even if taking Journey to School, which is like, you know, a 7-minute drive. Oh man, I'm making sure that I am bundled up as well as she is, because yeah, if we end up in a ditch, you know, it could be an hour or more until a tow truck gets there and we'll just be frozen. So yeah. Or dead of carbon monoxide.
That's just bare.
And on a lighter note, I watched a couple of movies to close out the year that were fun. In the spirit of the holidays, I watched Reindeer Games.
Oh, how did that hold up?
It didn't. Terrible. I also watched Miami Vice.
I saw that. That did hold up, I assume.
That movie, for the first time, I've started to have thoughts like, is this movie better than Heat?
Ooh.
I don't think it is, but it's creeping into the conversation.
Okay.
It's certainly, because I also rewatched Heat over Christmas break, sort of my annual tradition. And he's still amazing. But Miami Vice, I think, is probably like start to finish more entertaining because it's so bananas. Have you seen that Miami Vice movie with Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx?
No.
So Colin Farrell was so high on cocaine and blackout drunk throughout the entire filming of that movie that when asked about it, he doesn't remember making that movie at all.
Whoa.
I think it was right after that movie that he went into rehab and started to get sober. So his portrayal of Sonny Crockett is
pretty
bananas. It's bananas. It's good. He's good in it, but it is such a bizarre movie. You've got Gong Li in that movie. Li Gong, I guess more correctly. And I'm not certain that she is saying her lines in any way other than phonetically. She's speaking in English. Real weird sounding English. But even given that, she's good. It's a whole plot about white supremacists. Oh, it's a lot of go fast boats. It's awesome. It's great. I love that movie.
I think if I wanted to watch the movie, I'd want to go back and rewatch the series first.
So, if you watch the first half of the first season, if you watch the pilot and then the two-parter, Calderon's Revenge, I think it's called, or The Return of Calderon, those are like the two like seminal episode arcs in season one. I think that would give you everything you need to really, really get the most out of the movie. But the movie is such a different animal compared to the show. The first time I love the show, and the first time I watched the movie in theaters, my future wife and I actually saw it. I left the theater being like, "What the hell was that?" And she was like, she's like, "You're nuts. That movie was awesome. That was amazing." I was like, "That was not, maybe it was, but it wasn't a movie you could call Miami Vice." But then after watching it a few more times, that movie kicks ass. It's a great movie.
I remember really liking the show, but then also that's in the prism of being, you know, like a teenager, young adult. Oh, so
I watched the first season just a couple of years ago. It's still really good. I mean, it's of course dated, but it's still doing some things even back in the mid '80s that hold up pretty well.
Interesting.
And Don Johnson doesn't get enough credit for being good.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think you're correct there.
But yeah, when we start redoing movies for our podcast that we've already done on purpose, that one's going to be the top of my list.
Okay. For me, make Jason watch Pontypool. Maybe not.
I've listened to the podcast. I just...
Oh, yeah.
No.
No, yeah. It's after Fire in the Sky, I realize. Just forcing you to watch a horror movie isn't exciting. It's just mean.
I think boyfriend Jesse would like to have words with you, actually. So,
oh, is he frightened as well?
It might be better than making Jason watch Marvel movies, though.
I don't know. No, he has to sleep next to me after I've watched a horror movie, which results in bruises. So, because I kick in my sleep. So
you should watch Freaky before the episode. No, the episode's already out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've already listened to half of it, I think. Yeah. I don't know why I looked at my watch to see how far I threw the
episode. Freaky was a fun movie, though.
Mm-hmm.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the Brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Aaron, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Aaron, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.